Welcome to Nintendo Dads, episode 123, recorded on April 5th, 2017. On tonight's episode, we talk about our one-month Switch impressions, the tepid response to Yooka-Laylee, and more games coming for your Switch, your emails, and so much more. Zach, cue the music.
Everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Dads Podcast. My name is Zach Erickson, and tonight is April 5th, 2017. Joining me tonight from VGTribune.com, the co-editor-in-chief himself, Jesse Waldock. What's going on, Jesse?
We're still not used to me being on the
front. The guy who with the thing who does stuff.
You're still stumbling over that, and you're probably been stumbling over it for another month.
Yeah, probably. And as soon as we figure it out, then Justin will be back. So,
right.
It's all the circle of life. Speaking of the circle of life, joining us as well from the man of the South himself, Marty Esses. What's going on, Marty?
I feel like I should be singing a Lion King song here or something. Or, you know, holding a baby aloft. Hang on. I got something. Wait.
Wally, the circle of life. Beautiful. There
it
you
fits.
Go. That one was for you, chat room. So, of course, we got some news to talk about. We got some impressions of new games and such. We're a month into the Switch, and so I think we ought to get straight into into some news. What do you think, guys?
Do it.
And the news is brought to us by
the By and Large Corporation. No, actually, it's brought to us by 1UpBox.com. And if you like geeky stuff, you can head over to 1UpBox and use the exclusive code NintendoDads and get $3 off your first box. It's basically a big green box that's shipped to you once a month with a theme. They give you plushes. They give you toys. They give you stickers. There's an exclusive shirt. It's a whole lot of fun. And if you want to see what it's about, you can go over to our YouTube channel and check out our unboxing videos and see if it's right for your family. I think it makes a great family gift. So go on over to 1UpBox.com, use Nintendo Dads to get $3 off your first order.
Nice. I'm wearing a 1UpBox shirt. Right now.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can see this here. Hang on. Audio people, watch the video show to see this. I don't know. It's I think it was a while ago. It's like Harry Potter and Link and Fry from Futurama all battling a three-headed dog. So,
This month's was Sonic and the Flash and Rocket Raccoon for some reason having a race.
Nice.
I get it, but I don't understand how Rocket fits into
Rocket, right?
It's kind of like Futurama, the Futurama guy with Link and Harry Potter. It's like, what? We had to look it up. I was like, what is this guy? Because I got this shirt from Justin because he's offloading a bunch of his stuff. And so I inherited a bunch of Nintendo Dad's archive stuff. I thought this was Star-Lord on my shirt, and then I was kind of disappointed to find out it was Fry, frankly. That's okay.
Well, you're like Star-Lord in our hearts.
Yeah, I don't know if that's necessarily a good thing, considering his shenaniganizing, but that's okay. anyways, it's been a light news week. You know, there isn't a whole bunch to talk about here. However, it has been 1 month since the Switch came out, and so I think that's a really good opportunity for us to take a step back and think, wow, what is, you know, how do we feel about everything that's come out so far? You know, what are our overall impressions? All that kind of stuff. How are we feeling about the Switch? So, I don't know, Marty, let's start with you. How are you enjoying the Switch so far?
The Switch is making me bankrupt, man.
Yeah.
We were just talking about this before the show got started. I think the phrase you used was death by a thousand cuts.
Yes.
except a lot of those are more like, you know, like $59.99 cuts.
Yeah.
I realized this week I'm already up to seven physical copy games.
Oh wow, dude.
Yeah, I know. And so Mario Kart will make that eight, and then I've also purchased Snipper Clips and Blaster Master, and I mean, yeah, it's ridiculous. I have a problem.
So how many total games do you have on your menu? Have you?
I think with Lego City Undercover this week would be 14.
So you want? I think last week you had unlocked the premium club menu.
Well, that actually happened over the weekend because I picked up Binding of Isaac on Saturday.
Okay. So you did end up picking it up.
Yes, okay. I did. And I'm going to talk about it get to what we've been playing early. I'll just spoiler early. I love it. It's so great.
Good. Yeah,
it's a fun game. Yeah. I am kind of frustrated with it, though, right now. And I'll talk about that.
Cool.
When we get there. But yeah, like month in, man, I love the Switch way more than any system I've ever played because of the portability of it. It just makes playing the game so much better. I finally beat Zelda. It was Monday night.
Okay, when you say you beat it, you mean you defeated Ganon.
I finished the main storyline, right?
Including all the memories?
With what? No, not all the memories. I didn't have all the memories. So okay. I really haven't finished. I mean, I finished it and I was surprised because it came back and it said 15.13% complete. So, but here's the fun part about this was I started the fight with Ganon in laying on my bed. And when I got to the point where I realized that it was getting really super epic, I was like, oh man, I got to go out and put that on the TV. So I drop it in the TV and I finish it that way, you know, with the whole family sitting around and cheering me on and stuff like that. So
nice.
I mean, it's, yeah. See,
no one else in my family would have cared.
Well, my son did. My son was like, oh dad, you got to go over here and you got to do this. You got, oh yeah, you beat him. Yeah. You know, but I mean, that's my son.
Yeah.
My wife walked in and is like, why are you not ready to eat supper?
It's like,
well, because I'm saving Hyrule, babe. You know, I mean, like, the calamity's not going to end itself.
Yeah.
My son probably would care, but he's already seen all this. When he was fighting it, I'm like, I want to watch, but I don't want to watch.
Yeah.
Because when he played it, yeah, he was on the TV behind me.
Yeah. Oh, man. No, my son's like that too. Like, play. This is a very fun game to watch, by the way. Like, I think that's something we haven't really said before, but like, it is so fun to watch. Like, it reminds me of playing again, like Grand Theft Auto 3 with my over at my buddy's house. You know, this sort of like an open world action game. This is like third person. So there's something specifically about a third person open world action game that can be really, really fun to watch. I think that's what this has been for sure. So
yeah, so like getting back to your original question about a month in, I have abandoned my 3DS. I feel so bad for my 3DS. It's been turned on once in the last 30 days.
I got a brand new, like, small new 3DS for Christmas.
Me
and,
too.
And I'm like, yeah, I don't really
because
want to play this right now.
Now, like, now the choice is, okay, I bring my 3DS, which has a lot more games, but man, I really want to play Zelda, or yeah, I really want to make another run on Has-Been Heroes or Binding of Isaac. So, like, it's just, I think it's just like it's doing what Nintendo probably did not want it to do, which is cannibalizing the 3DS for me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, there are some issues that I've had with it. I think that I'm experiencing the warping issue, unfortunately. I need to test it out just a little bit more to be sure, but if it is, it's very slight right now. But I mean, overall, March was great. I'm really like just thrilled about the future of this console. If March continues to shape up like, you know, if the rest of the year continues to go like March, I mean, I know we're going to get into spaces where there's not so many games and different things like that, cause we see the release date calendar going forward, but so far, man, so good. I love this system.
Yeah.
I can't conceive of going back, I guess, if that's a way of saying, like, I can't think about like just having a console that's just, you know, home.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Yeah. And well, it's interesting because, like I said, Justin, I got a bunch of stuff from Justin, and one of the things that I got from him was our review copy of Dragon Quest VIII. Mm-hmm. And I popped that thing in, and immediately, I'm not even going to talk about it right now, because I'm so, like, I'm not going to talk about it in what we've been playing, because I'm so not far in that game. Like, I played maybe, like, 20 minutes of it.
Yeah, come back when you're 100 hours in.
Yeah, right. Like, that's going to happen with Zelda here. But, like, it's, the first thing was, like, okay, if I'm going back to the 3DS... a game better dang well have 3D in it. And Dragon Quest VIII doesn't have 3D in it. Like, and I'm like, ooh, that's a killer right there.
Yeah. He sent me our review copy of Mario Sports Superstars. Mm-hmm. Haven't touched it.
Yeah.
Yeah. My son, on the other hand, he is loving it, but
that's super cool.
Like he doesn't get as much time with the Switch, 'cause it always is with me.
Yeah.
So he's playing a lot of 3DS or playing a lot of Wii U still.
Yeah.
But like I get up in the morning, maybe he has a little bit of time with the Switch before they start school, and then I pack it up in the case and it comes to work with me because, hey, I might have some downtime.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I like, for me, it's been like, yeah, maybe I'll leave it at home depending on how busy I am, because if I have a lot I need to get done, then if I take it with me, then stuff won't get done. That's kind of how life is with me right now. So I have been leaving it at home more often, but it's so good. I have 10 games on here, only two retail though, I think. Let me take a quick look here. So I have Zelda and 1-2 Switch physical copy. And then I have Shovel Knight, Snake Pass, Has-Been Heroes. I guess that technically is a retail game, but that was our review code. Fast RMX, I guess Splatoon 2, Test Fire doesn't really count, but Human Resource Machine, Blaster Master Zero, Snipper Clips. Graceful Explosion Machine comes out tomorrow, and I'll probably be picking that up because that looks freaking rad. So
it does look really good.
And then there's like so many more games. I, you know, a month in, I would say, as far as what you were saying, Marty, I think we might as well talk about the warping thing right now. I don't know, like, do we see this being a problem? Like, I don't.
Well, so you know, I think it's funny this. That like, you put something on Twitter about it. It was like, look, can we just call it what it is? Homeboy sat on his Switch.
Yeah.
And then no sooner did you do that than Adam from Mega Dads was like, yeah, look at this.
Yeah.
It showed his. And it was like, you could tell just from the photo, it was super warped.
Yeah.
And so he had to send his off, and I guess is still waiting on it to come back.
Oh, mine, wow. Yeah.
Mine is still like, if you set the Switch up with like, say, the left Joy-Con side rail down, so mm-hmm. the console's standing up, like after you get past the air vent, it is bending in toward the screen a little bit.
Hmm.
Not much, but like I put a book up next to it to see.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, holy crap, it's true. Now, I don't know if
was
it's
it
just
like that before, system. Though? Like that's kind of what.
But see, that's the thing. I don't know. Like I've never looked at it. And, you know, I read somewhere.
This whole thing's made out of plastic. So like I don't know why we're surprised at the. If it's getting that hot that often and
right.
it starts warping, like I understand, like I'm not saying like blame the consumer here. That's not what I'm saying, but,
no.
but like that is something that you'd think they'd pick up on if that is actually happening. That's a problem. But also this
well,
thing
I
is
did,
plastic.
I read something on Reddit about that. The tempered glass screen protectors may be what's causing it.
Oh, because it
maybe it
that.
Doesn't allow the screen to breathe. And like I put one on mine, you know, mm-hmm. because I was, and I know a lot of people who put one on theirs because they were scared about the dock scratching it up,
mm-hmm.
you know? So, I don't know, like I was telling somebody, last night I was talking to Jacob Rush from the Nintendo Nostalgia podcast. I was on there and we were talking about it a little bit. And I said, you know, right now it's at a point where it like, I'm not seeing any of the stuff like where it's like pulling parts of the casing away, you know, it's causing gapping or anything, mm-hmm. which I think Adams was doing.
That's crazy.
And so I'm content to let it be.
Yeah.
But if it gets worse, yeah, I'm going to do something about it because
you may want to
fix it. If it's an issue, they should fix it.
You may want to at least hold on until they patch in. Being able to transfer your save file to
that's what I'm trying to hold on for. I'm trying to hold on for like a few more things
because Adam, I hate to tell you, buddy, you may be losing your Zelda progress which that's a sad prospect. no good. So, but yeah, so I mean, like, there have now been since launch, a crazy number of games. I think that this list of games is inflated substantially by all the Neo Geo games that are on the Switch. But there are not counting the Neo Geo games. We now have we've got a pretty good library. April looks like right now we have a total of 1, 2, including Lego City Undercover, which came out yesterday, right? Yep. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 games in April. Currently listed as of the Wikipedia page on today's date. I don't know. So it has all of the listed games there. So the games coming out for April are Mr. Shifty and Shakedown Hawaii, which are not dated, but they are slated for April. Lego City Undercover, which we already talked about. Alpha Mission 2, which looks like a Neo Geo game. Graceful Explosion Machine. Wonder Boy, The Dragon's Trap. I don't know. I think I've seen trailers for that. But I don't know.
It looks really cool. Like, the art style on it is super cute. Super, like, very well done.
Yeah. And then we've got Puyo Puyo Tetris and Mario Kart 8 Deluxe coming at the end.
Still a very good April lineup of games.
Yeah. And then May, we have only four games currently listed, but we have a bunch of games that are say like Q2, Q3, a ton of games that are not dated at all. That, I mean, my suspicion is that Nintendo so far has done very well in keeping the for the most part, every week there's something, right? It's not always great, but something is released every week. Just this week there was NBA Playgrounds is now announced for May, and we have that old time hockey game that's supposedly coming out at some point. It's not dated, but man, lots and lots of stuff coming out for the Switch, and I don't know. Like you said, Marty, I'm loving it. I think it's great. I think it's a great system so far. It's giving me everything that I want. I'm getting close to the point where, unless I want to go and get all the Korok seeds and do all the side quests in Zelda, I'm almost running out of stuff to do in Zelda, which is kind of crazy to think about. I have I've beaten all 120 shrines. I'm in the middle of like upgrading all of my armor, which is a lot of like dragon hunting and stuff like that, and hunting for like specific kinds of beetles and whatever for ingredients to upgrade your gear. But which, by the way, I was thinking for Zelda, it'll be interesting. I really hope that they add like more gear that you get to hunt down, right? Like that is an incentive that has never really been in the Zelda games before. But that gameplay loop of obtain the item, go and farm mats to then upgrade that item to then, you know, and then kind of doing that over and over again is something that I've been doing a lot in Zelda lately, and it's really fun. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out in the DLC and stuff like that. But yeah, anyways, anything else? Jesse, what about you, man? How's the Switch treating you?
Well, it's the Zelda machine. I've played a little bit of other games, but really it's insignificant. You know, so you're talking about the number of icons on your home screen, mm-hmm. including the test fire. I only have 5.
So, oh, like, okay.
Because, you know, I bought a bunch of Switch. The kids played that a little bit. Bought Snipper Clips. The kids played that a little bit. I bought Blaster Master. Haven't touched it yet. And then Zelda. And even knowing that I have a PS4 game coming in the mail tomorrow, Persona 5, even though it came out yesterday, but my shipment got delayed. But I don't know if I can, you know, forcing to play on a TV is going to be weird again, because my Switch is almost never docked. I've been hand-holding that thing almost the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
Which, yeah, exactly, as I predicted I would.
It's weird, yeah, right?
That's what I was saying, like, about, I don't know about playing other games, you know, they're expansive games on an actual console that doesn't go with me now. Like, I'm really interested now that I've kind of finished what I might call a little bit of the meat of Zelda with the story. I'd be interested in going back to Horizon Zero Dawn on PS4 for a little bit, but when am I going to play it? Mm-hmm. You know, I won't say a lot, but I mean, a good bit of the major plot of Zelda I did in handheld mode.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if Persona 5 is like Persona 3 and 4, it'll be another 100-hour game.
So. And to think, like, oh, well, you won't be doing that in handheld mode. You'll be doing that.
Right, which means I'm going to have to fight for TV time with my kid.
Nobody wants that. Yep. Sony, nobody wants that. See, that's why we have the...
I do have a Vita, and I can play remote play, but it's laggy, and it's not fun.
Yeah, are we talking, like, how bad of lag are we talking? Are we talking, like, Korok Forest sort of lag, or what?
Well...
or worse.
Let's say... It wouldn't be so bad in Persona because it's turn-based combat.
Right.
If it was real-time combat, like a Call of Duty game, it would blow.
Yeah. I tried to play, and I'm sure it's not, maybe it is this bad, on like PlayStation Now. I tried to play something once, and it was so terrible that I just...
Oh, it's not that bad. Because it's still at least a local connection on the network, on my LAN.
Right.
From device to device.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I tried the beta of Now, and that was just horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And then last week, my daughter got a Switch, so we now have three Switches in the house, and she's planning on retailing as much as she can.
Mm-hmm.
So she doesn't have to get another memory card to slap in there. But she's planning on getting... She wants to get her own copy of 1-2 Switch. She wants to get Mario Kart. I don't know if she cares about Tetris. I might get Tetris, but if I get it, I'll get it digitally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm not gonna get Mario Kart for myself because the Wii U game was meh to me. But both my son and my daughter will be getting it.
Cool. So you can just play with that, hey? That'll be. Yeah. It's too bad that download play isn't a thing on the Switch, because that would be a really nice.
It would be a system seller with Mario Kart, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, you know, make it where the people had to play Shy Guys all the time, just like Mario Kart 7.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, I forget which game did it on the 3DS, but. You know, if it's not download play, you can still download a free client that has to be played with someone else's cart.
Yeah, that was the most recent Mario Party.
Right.
Yeah. That would be
a good alternative.
Yeah. I think you're right, Jesse, because download play would be substantially, it'd be really hard to get download play to work on the Switch, because it's, you're dealing with much bigger files, you know, even though it's wireless and it's fairly
right. you effectively have to have two copies of the game stored on the cart.
Mm-hmm.
One to play locally and then one to be transferred over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. So thinking about this, what are we most looking forward to moving into, like, between now and E3? Do we have any sort of, like, thoughts or predictions or anything like that, or like, what is, like, let's say the Switch's first major firmware update, what do we see is, like, the essentials as far as, like, yeah, this thing, it's ridiculous that it doesn't have this at launch, or this is a little bit weird, or, like, what are your thoughts on that? Marty, let's start with you. What do you think? Anything?
I think that major firmware update needs to, you know, flesh out the online capabilities for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I know they're sense? Probably like holding
like the matchmaking and stuff like that.
Yeah, in or some ways, but also system? Like getting rid of friend codes and maybe adding in like, YouTube or Netflix or something like that. I mean, like, we've seen, you know, we get it, Nintendo, you've been, it's been out a month, it's a gaming machine, we get it. Okay, I've played games with it, but I'd also like to for it to do some other things too, you mm-hmm. know, I, like maybe send a message to you guys or something like that. Another thing I would love to see, are we going to eventually get the ability to record video on this? Mm. You know, like if we can take pictures, great. Can we stream video? Can I record a moment? I know that's probably coming, but to be honest, I don't think those kind of like firmware stuff needs to be E3. Like, mm-hmm. don't sit on that. Don't wait on it. Go ahead and put it out to build the hype train rolling into the station at E3. Like, okay, we prepped you with all this cool stuff, like under the hood. Now here's Metroid. Here's Animal Crossing. Here's Splatoon. Here's this. Now go out and be awesome.
Yeah.
You know, go make videos and go do all this other stuff. And one thing that I would really love to see is, I know that the capability for this is there, but the way that you find a Switch locally sucks big time.
Mm-hmm.
Like putting in those, the spades and the diamonds and stuff. Why can I not search for like devices locally that are maybe on the same Wi-Fi network as mine?
Yeah. You know, so like devices like,
like, you know, if me and my buddy are at the coffee shop, you know, or I see a guy and he's over there and he's playing his Switch, and I'm like, hey, man, you want to be friends? You want to play Mario Kart?
Can you not?
Oh, yeah. That? Search for me.
I thought you could. No. Do that.
No. Local edition is like pairing your Wii U gamepad to the system.
So if we say add friend.
Because out of a game, you're effectively offline. Even if you're connected to the internet, you're not on. You're not using its online functions. So it's got the little thing where if multiple people, I think up to 8 people at once, can all go to the screen where it's got like the 4 card suits.
Yeah.
If everyone pushes the same one at the same time, then they'll all be friends. But I think he's asking for, hey, I see Laffer's Switch nearby. Do you want to be?
Yeah.
Friends? Oh, exactly. So you don't have to. Yeah. I think that card thing, it may be the closest thing we get to that, because I don't know if Nintendo wants to, because what if old Johnny is, you know, sitting by his mom at the food court at the mall, and suddenly some weird guy wants to be his friend on the Switch. Like I know that that's a really extreme example. That is like potentially borderline paranoid, considering like how in the world is anything going to happen? There's not even any messaging on the Switch at this point, but that's the kind of thinking that Nintendo always has. So,
because, you know, they've taken away messaging apps before.
Yeah.
Before that reason.
So I hear what you're saying, Marty, but I wouldn't count your.
Yeah. It makes sense. So Nintendo's not going to do it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But I think another big thing, and we've kind of already talked about it before, but they really, really need to get their data management figured out.
Oh, absolutely.
Right.
Yes.
I need to be able to, if I download something, I need to be able to transfer it to my card and from my card to my system, like especially save files. The fact that your save files are all stuck on your Switch right now. Like I said earlier, like Adam right now, it's kind of like a coin flip on whether or not he's going to have his saves or if it's just going to be a completely wiped Switch, which is super difficult to think about. But I think that it's definitely, you know, it is what it is.
The odds of repairing a bent Switch is minimal. They're likely going to replace it with a new unit.
Yeah. Are they mm-hmm. really going to take the time to take the little memory chip out and put it into a new Switch? No. Probably
and I've
not.
I've heard they don't.
Yeah. I wouldn't count on it. So yeah, I think that is, that would be the big thing for me too. And, you know, like themes and stuff. I don't know. We'll see. But here, so yeah, I think anything else as we kind of move before we transition onto our next topic here?
I like the theme thing. I didn't even think about that, but that's a simple way to, I think, to draw people in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like people are used to three themes on their 3DS. If you offered like a free Splatoon theme because you played the test fire, you know, that was exclusive. Like, your system knew you'd played the test fire. So here's a little gift. Thanks for helping us play test the servers.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Now there's a Splatoon theme, or maybe promotional Fire Emblem theme when Shadows of Valencia came out, you know?
I have so many of those on the 3DS, and my Nintendo stuff. I actually haven't checked my Nintendo. I know they said they were going to have, Nintendo Switch stuff soon, but it was just like a coming soon thing.
I don't think they've added that.
Fire Emblem rewards for my Nintendo. Okay, what do we got here? What is this nonsense? Oh, it's like discounts and junk. I don't know. Anyway. Oh, they're just showing the different characters on here because now everybody's played the Fire Emblem Legends game, or Fire Emblem Heroes. That's what I'm talking about. So now they're like, yeah, so remember all those guys from that game? Now you can play the games that they're from. And like, oh, okay, whatever, dude.
Remember that bow guy that you didn't know where he was from?
Yeah.
Now you can figure it out.
Yeah, seriously. So that's, and I think that's, I mean, that's the whole point that they've been saying all along, right? But yeah, that'd be cool. So I'm not seeing anything. By the way, I do like that they've started adding smart device and PC rewards. I know that it's hokey, whatever crap that they've been putting up. But like the digital wallpapers and like the PDF of the first part of the Zelda guide. It just feels nice to be able to spend my coins. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care. Like, I bought all the wallpapers and stuff with my platinum coins because what else am I gonna buy? I got nothing else to buy, so I might as well pay for those. So, very cool. All right. So finally, I think we talked about the Switch warping. Announced games. Yeah, that NBA Playgrounds game looks cool. Ukulele.
That's basically just NBA Jam.
But it looks like it.
They have really tiny bodies and really gigantic heads.
Yeah. Yeah. And it could be good, right? Like it could be good
and it could be atrocious.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think there's any in between.
I'm waiting. Yeah. I'm waiting for that one for sure. Yeah.
I said this in the pre-show, but I played a lot of NBA Jam in the arcade in college just because it was fun, because I was playing it with other people who appreciated the game. And when I bought it for the Super Nintendo and played it by myself, it wasn't as fun.
That's the thing. Yeah. Like, basically, if you know, it was really exciting to play NBA Jam. And then you hear like, whoa, he's on fire. And you cheer. And then you look around and you're like, oh, I'm forever alone, you know, sort of situation where you're like, oh, it's not fun when you're playing by yourself. That's a sad realization. But I had a very similar sort of reaction playing that on that system. But
my other memory about NBA Jam is when you play single player, when you play the other teams, it's in a sorted order from worst to best. Uh-huh. And I don't know what year, you know, 90, probably based on a 91 season, because it was, or 90 season, somewhere in there. But the Minnesota Timberwolves, I lived in Minnesota at the time, which the team who was maybe 3 or 4 years old was the second team that you played.
Nice.
You know, the revival of that game that came out on the Wii a few years ago was actually really fun.
Was it?
It really was. I mean, it was NBA Jam, but, it was pretty much the same. But yeah, it was refreshing to play. Like, I don't like sports games at all. But if it's like a non-simulation sports game where, like, you can do stuff like run across the walls, or it's mutants throwing a blow-up football at each other.
Not,
you know?
Madden.
Yeah, not Madden. Not NBA 2K. Not, you know, none of that. But if you give me, like, some Mutant League Football or – you know, stuff like that, I'm good.
This old time,
I'm interested in
this old time hockey game that is coming. I cannot tell you how many hours I spent playing, like NHL 95 on Sega Genesis, and that is what this game is. Like, it looks just like it. It's even got like the classic sort of like fighting, you know, like where, oh, there's a fight coming on. And then like it breaks into this sort of like very, very simplified sort of like punching thing. You know, it just looks so fun. I'm really looking forward to that. So again, lots of what I'm seeing, and I hope that this is not the case, and maybe this is a transition into our next story, but a lot of games that look really, really great that I've been excited for, and then the execution is like they don't stick the landing, right? Like it's a really great sort of concept. And I'm specifically thinking about like, and I know I'll probably get hate from some people on this, but like Snake Pass, for example, looked really good. Like visually is great. Mm-hmm. And oh, what a cool idea. It's a snake. And then I get into it and I'm just like, oh my gosh, I suck at this game and I'm struggling with the camera and, I don't know. This game clearly is not for me.
You know? I mean, facts show that 99.9% of deaths in Snake Pass are caused by either the camera or that freaking hummingbird flying in your way, so you miss your connection.
Yeah,
you know, to another bamboo shoot,
or you think you're wrapping your head around the bamboo shoot or whatever, but really you didn't, and then threw your entire body weight off of the ledge and you die.
I'm so glad that I'm not the only one who sucks at Snake Pass. Like, I played it, and I was like, so this was, I thought this was supposed to be, like, you know, fun.
I
like Snake Pass, but, I made it, I think, to the sixth level.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know.
It just doesn't do a very good job teaching you how to play the game. I think that's my problem with it.
It doesn't.
It ramps up too quick, and I don't know if it's because they expect you to go back and collect everything in those first worlds. And that's why I'm not like, I was just like, okay, I beat the game. I beat that level and whatever, but I don't,
let's move on quickly.
I don't need to collect all of the, you know, I'm not really the kind of gamer who needs to collect everything. I'm just like, all right, I saw this level. I did the minimum. I think that's probably why I beat Zelda before a lot of people, because I was like, yep. Okay. At this point, I don't think this is a spoiler. Maybe it is. I don't know. But like, I had the bare minimum requirement to collect the sword, right? Like by the skin of my teeth. Therefore, I am now okay to go and fight Ganon. Like that's
my son did that too. Just he barely had the 13 hearts. I didn't get the sword until I finished all of the. Of the beasts, so I had like 17 hearts before I got the sword.
It was
By the way, can I say that everybody who said, "Oh, you just walk into Hyrule Castle and Ganon's right there," y'all are a bunch of big fat liars.
Oh no, you gotta.
Yeah, like I heard so many people was like, "Oh yeah, he's right there. Just go through the gates." No, he's not.
You gotta like make your way through a hell.
No, you gotta fight a freaking Lynel out of nowhere. And you gotta, it's like at the end of the game, they're like, hey, yeah, you remember Guardians and you remember how hard they were? And then you got the sword and they got kind of easy, but not really. Well, we're going to take everything that, you hated about Guardians and we're just going to ramp it up to 11 and make these Guardian radar towers. Oh, and by the way, when you go around this corner, 7 of them are going to target you at one time.
Yeah. Yeah. It was funny because I ended up like, In order to get the sword, I basically like I go to do it and I'm like, nope, didn't work. And so then I went to the one shrine. What's the shrine? What's outside of the Hateno village? There's like the little evil statue thing. Do you know what I'm talking about? That lets you trade your stamina for hearts and like exchange them back and forth. I went back and exchanged all of my stamina for hearts and then went and got the sword and then went back to that thing and got it back. Like, I was like, all right, screw that business. I'm not doing like, I will eventually see everything, but I want to get, I want to see as much as I can, as soon as I can too. So, so it's, good times, but I don't even know how we got there. How did we get there? Ukulele. That was a trip. So Ukulele, it's not out on Switch yet. Reviews are in, and What's the current Metacritic score? Let's take a look. Metacritic.
Earlier today, it was 64.
Yeah, 64. Which is appropriate, strangely. 60. Get it? Okay, so the PC version of Metacritic score. This is the problem with Metacritic, by the way, is that each version of the game has a different score. Ukulele. Okay, so 68 currently on PS4, 73 on PC. Where are we? 73.
So it's gone up a little bit.
So it's gone up a little bit, yeah. But I mean, the consensus, so yeah, 73 on PC and Xbox One, 68 on PS4, which I think is just a, tells you that maybe the PS4 audience is a little bit more critical. I don't know. Oh, geez. What's going on? Somebody has, ad going on.
You know, you go and you look at the mixture of reviews for Ukulele and it's mostly positive, but overwhelming majority of mixed. And there's not, I mean, like, you're not pulling from a huge pool of reviews there. I mean, it's like, let's see, maybe 32, 33 reviews.
Yeah.
And two of them negative. I just think that people are getting the fact that, hey, you wanted a AAA game, but this is a Kickstarter game.
Yeah.
So, kind of what did you expect? You know,
yeah,
and I say that because
how much was this, like, game? What's this game's price? Like, how much are they charging for it?
Jesse, you backed it, right?
I did, but I don't remember how much I spent. Let me see if we know what the eShop price will be when it comes out.
It's selling for $50 Canadian, which means it's probably selling for $40 US.
Yeah, it's not on the Nintendo site yet.
The PS4 version on Amazon is $50. Canadian, so, which is again $40 US, so about half the price of a normal retail game, maybe a little bit more than that. I would say, you know, here's the thing that I think is happening with this too, is with Ukulele, with to a much greater extent, Mighty No. 9, there we're seeing a lot of these games that were initially pitched and marketed based on their nostalgia, the nostalgia of them, right? And mm-hmm. and so much of that hype was banked on nostalgia. And basically what I think we're realizing is nostalgia is enough to market your game, but not enough to get it all the way there, right? You can't be so slavish to it that you are, or you cannot like not deliver on a really polished experience as well. And that's what killed Mighty No. 9. That is what it seems like is that Ukulele is not a sort of an homage to Banjo-Kazooie and 3D platformers, but also a step up. It's literally like, okay, well, what if we made an HD version of those old games? And what's happened is, oh, well, I'm sorry, but there's been almost 20 years of history since then, of progression in games since then, right? So that's I think, at least that's kind of what I'm seeing, is that you take away the nostalgia from Ukulele and what is left. It's kind of a, you know, it's a not very impressive 3D platformer is what it seems like to me. I don't know. Am I wrong here? Like, what do you guys
think? No, I mean, I honestly feel like that Ukulele is a victim of its own hype.
Hmm.
And because it's just been like for so long, it's been like, but Ukulele, you know, like, and almost to the point where, as somebody who didn't back the game, I'm like, guys, really? It's kind of getting sick of it. You know, like, because every time you turn around, it's like, but Ukulele's coming. Oh, but we've got to have Ukulele for the Switch. It has to be there. And look, I know there's tons of people who are huge fans of this because, like, it's Banjo-Kazooie, it's Banjo-Tooie, it's Donkey Kong 64, you know, it's Conker, it's all those games that were 64 era. But, like, again, if you strip it away, like, if you strip away the nostalgia, is it a good game?
Yeah.
What it comes down to, is it a good game?
Mm-hmm.
And I think what most people are finding out is that it's not. It leaves a lot to be desired.
Yeah.
And of course, like I'm looking at these reviews right now. I mean, these are reviews from like websites and all this stuff. You know, like people, they're from reviewers and different things like that. So like, obviously this score will most likely go up next week when it releases.
Oh, is it not even out yet? I thought they, okay. I guess when does this come out?
No, it's 5 days.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So all of these scores are coming from review copies.
Huh.
Which has pissed the fans off even more.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Joshy is in chat. Who has also reviewed it and posted a video earlier today that was less than pleasant. Had a, I won't say it on there, but he described it in a way that is even less pleasant. But he said that it sells for $40 in North America, in U.S., which
he says, I don't know if you're avoiding reading this. I'm just going to read. He says, Puka Faley.
Yeah, I did. I wasn't going to say that, but
it's terrible.
It's on.
I love it, though.
So when I backed it,
I love Joshy.
When I backed it, I paid it was $15, £15, which is about $24-25 for the digital copy. I don't know if a physical copy would cost more or not. Probably so.
Well, and here's the thing too that I'm realizing. This is one of my problems with Snake Pass too, is that, and I'm the only real 3D platformer that these are all paying, like the rare 3D platformers, right? The only one that I played was Donkey Kong 64, and at the time I really really liked that one. And part of what made that game so charming was that everything in that game, this is going to sound really weird, but you cared about, like, there was a reason why you were collecting it, right? Like, there was a reason why, and it was a good reason, and it had, like, there was some narrative and some lore there, just enough, you know, that it didn't take a long time to explain it, but there was character there. And Snake Pass doesn't even try, right? It's like, the bird looks around and says, oh no, we lost the keystones, and then we got to find the keystones, and somehow I'm supposed to care about the keystones and these stupid coins that I don't know where these coins are from, and what are these little blue balls? Go and
collect the 30 blobs in every level.
Yeah,
why?
And it's just like, I don't know what
just
any
do
of these
it.
Are. Yeah, I don't know what any of these are, which means I don't care, right? And the from everything that I've seen with Ukulele, I mean, for their April Fool's joke, they released like their equivalent of the Ukulele rap. Did you guys see this?
Yes.
I heard about it, but I don't think I saw it.
You guys, Jesse, it was bad.
Which is why I didn't see it, because I expected it to be
well, and
bad.
The thing is that it's like, the thing was is that it basically, the whole premise is, going after the Pagies. And, you know, like the whole DK rap was like basically saying, you know, because it was so long, because each one of these characters, very well-defined character, very, you know, very different. There were 5 different characters, and so you could spend a lot of time doing it. And I know that it was just an April Fool's joke, but what they inadvertently did was show how narrow that world was, how shallow it was. And it's like, we have Yuka, and he's a lizard, and here's Laylee, and she's a bat and does sonic wave things. And
part of my problem with this is exactly this rap. Like, I think they put it out and thought it was going to be cute, or they thought it was going to be something that fans were really going to flip over. And, you know, for the most part, they did. But as someone who's not sold out on this game, I looked at that and that's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
That's dumb. I thought that was dumb when they did it on Donkey Kong 64. And it, to me, it was just another one of those things where it was like, yeah, the only crutch they have to stand on is the fact that, hey, we used to make games for the Nintendo 64.
Yeah. And that, it, yeah, like, let's don't be afraid to just like, don't lean so hard into nostalgia that you don't have your own identity, that you aren't brave with that you aren't exciting, you are showing us something new, right? Where
I said this to a friend of the show, Jacob Rush. I told him, I said, you know, I mean, I don't want to be cynical about it, but because I'm not bought into it, you know, like I kind of am leaning more toward them. Man, I may not pick this up. Like I may need to, I may need to have a demo for it, I guess is what I'm saying, you know, to see how it is. But like, I don't want it to fail. Like I want the fans of it and those who've kickstarted it, because I've gone through a terrible Kickstarter experience. Mm-hmm. I would much rather nobody go through like the Mighty No. 9 experience where like you wait and wait and wait and the eventual output is terrible to the point that you don't want to play it. Mm-hmm. So I would love for it to be everything it says it is. It's just that it's not. It's not going to be. Like it's very obvious now early on. It's not going to be. And it kind of makes me wonder like, okay, so what was the holdup for the Wii U?
Yeah.
Now, why could they not do this for the Wii U?
Well, at this point, you mean like why didn't they just release it on the Wii U now? Or
No, like where they said we can't do this on the Wii U. Why?
Well, so we understood it is, you know, they had questions, they had some problems, and they went to Nintendo for questions. You know, all their developers have this communication with them, but since Nintendo themselves is shutting down support for Wii U, they were stopping answering the developers' questions about Wii U development. So
yeah,
they pretty much they were kind of being hung dry. So well, they said, "Oh, I guess we can't do this anymore." So that's why they switched to the Switch, mm-hmm. because that's where the support is.
Yeah, and I remember, I don't know if you have listened to the, when was it? It was right after the indie showcase, or maybe a little bit afterwards. And is it Damon Baker? Is that his name? The indie guy in the Treehouse?
Yes.
And he had an interview with IGN on Nintendo Voice Chat over there, and he did say that there were some developers who, you know, they were waiting for, you know, their development cycle was way longer than Nintendo thought it was going to be. And eventually they basically had to have some hard conversations, was the way that he put it. He's like, have some hard conversations about, you know, is this really like, do you really want to be releasing something onto the Wii U and it, where it's basically you're going to release it and it's going to go and die. Right. So like you don't want to release something just so that it can die, especially considering that developing for the Wii U is substantially harder than developing for the Switch, especially for those multi-platform games. It's better to just like, you know what, we don't want to release it just so that it'll go out and die. And I think that was ultimately it just wasn't worth the return. So like I hear what you're saying, though, that it would have been really nice to be able to play it now. But I don't know. It's weird. It is a weird thing for sure. Especially now where we're at launch of this new system, you know, we're 1 month in and we're in that weird sort of, well, they didn't start development early enough for Switch to get it done for release. And so now we're sitting around waiting. And by the time it does come out, is that even going to be something we're interested in? I don't know.
Well, I mean, you know, there's still stuff that's coming out for the Wii U. I mean, there's like I saw announced this week, there's another indie game coming to Wii U. And yeah, I'm like, why?
I have why? No. Yeah, it's so weird.
They announced today that the new Cars game is going to come out on the Wii U. Why?
Dude, Just Dance 2017 was launched on the or was released on the Wii U and Switch. So I think that like,
listen, in 2025, like in the year 3000,
yes,
Just Dance will come out on the Wii.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I mean, like it'll be like Just Dance 3000.
Yeah.
You know, you could play it. We can wave our arms around when we're in our Wally chairs. And
I'm looking forward to it.
Get our mandatory exercise.
Absolutely. All right, well, let's head into what we've been playing. We said we were going to try and be an hour and a half. We're already at 54 minutes, so
yay.
So that's the thing. So anyway, so yeah, let's head into what we've been playing, and we've got some emails too. All right, and what we've been playing today, what do we got? Marty, you've been playing some new stuff.
Yeah, I have. So this past weekend, I decided to go and trade in a bunch of games. that I wasn't playing anymore. And because that was pretty much a low risk purchase, I actually got a lot of money. Fans of the show who like Fire Emblem may not like to hear this, but I went and traded in Fire Emblem Fates, which was the special edition.
What?
You know, the one that came with all the games on there, and that GameStop gave me $47 for it.
Wow.
Just the game card.
Holy cow.
So
no case or anything?
That's the most I think I've seen them give any for a single cart.
Yeah, I think the only other time that I've really made that kind of money from GameStop is when I traded in the original Wii version of Super Mario All-Stars because it was rare.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I got like $50 or $60 for it, which was nuts.
Really?
Yeah.
Didn't that only cost $30 initially?
No. Well, it did, but you remember like Nintendo did false scarcity crap with it again and didn't reprint it. So it like came in its own little box, and I think it had a little book with it. Yeah, and
I bought that and was really disappointed in it. That was just, it should have just been virtual console.
Yeah.
Screw the art book.
Well, I think it's time they weren't doing it virtual console. Now you can get it. You know, I think you get Mario All-Stars. It's a Selects title now.
So yeah, it's a Selects title.
They had Super Nintendo Virtual Console on the Wii.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's true. Did they do All-Stars on there?
They didn't. They should have.
Yeah, that's they wanted to save it for that special release. But anyway, so I traded in, and I mostly paid off Mario Kart, but the rest of the money, which was almost $100, went to Binding of Isaac. And it was low risk because, you know, it's credit, and if I don't like it, I can come back and trade it in. GameStop has that nice little 14-day rental policy, too, if you don't like games. That's what one of my friends calls it. He calls it a 14-day rental policy.
Oh, that's what we call Costco's return policy, too.
I brought it home, and I will tell you this. This is two things I immediately realized upon playing it. Oh, my gosh, this is really fun. Yeah. And number two, this is never a game I can play on my television.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, like, and I understand why your son called it the poop game.
Because that's what it is.
Because I immediately found myself fighting poops and flies and weird Isaac-like zombie monsters and stuff. So, like, I played it, and the first run was very satisfying. I got pretty far in. I didn't get to Mom, but I think I got about four levels in, and I was like, you know, I'd like to do that again. So I tried it again, and I played, like, maybe five run-throughs just sitting there, mm-hmm. you know, the first time. None of them were as successful as the first, but started learning, started seeing some combos I like, started seeing some. And so the next day, I did a run-through, and I beat Mom.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she's after level 5. And that's where I started not to like the game. Because now I'm stuck in this loop of a dungeon, which I've tried to get out of it. I've tried to do other things, like I've died, and I've instead of going restart, I've said exit. But basically the dungeon I'm in has a button in the center of the room, and you have to press it, and it counts down 10 rounds of enemies that you have to fight before the level's over. And all 5 levels leading up to the next boss are exactly the same.
Oh, geez.
It's awful. Yeah, it's so hard. Like, the only thing that's in the room is there's an exit to the north. It's like a long L-shaped room. There's an exit to the north that goes to a shop. There's an exit to the left that's one of the pain doors.
Mm-hmm.
There's an exit to the right that is a locked door, like mm-hmm. a gold one. So, you know, there's an item or a power up. And then there's one underneath it that's like a white door, you know, like where you get an additional power up. That's it.
Hmm.
And then on most of the levels, once you go through the bottom door, which is where you get out, there's enemies in that room too.
Mm-hmm.
So, I've tried different combinations. I've unlocked some characters. I've done some different things. But I'm stuck, and I don't know what to do. Like, I don't know if I just put in a seed and try something else, or, you know, whatever. So if you're a listener of the show and you know how to play this game and I'm doing it totally wrong, please send a message in or something and let me know what I need to do.
Like, are you playing through, because it's all procedurally generated, right? Like that's the thing that's interesting to me, is like, I think basically you get to the point, like what you're describing is almost what happened to me before I found Mom, or before I beat Mom. And again, I played the 3DS version. It was Binding of Isaac Rebirth, which has not as much content in it apparently. But basically, like like, is it possible that you are reaching, because a lot of times what roguelikes have is a sort of skill, like a skill check, right? So you play and play and play, and right. suddenly you get stuck, and until you get good, you can't proceed anymore, right? And then, well, like, you're like actually as you learn the game itself and you actually get better at the game, then you progress further and you're able to beat more levels and unlock new stuff and all that kind of stuff. Kind of like, even kind of like Has-Been Heroes in that sense, right?
It is, but like every time I start the game, it's like this.
Yeah.
Like there's no difference. And like, it's not procedurally generated. It's the same level every time.
Hmm.
And a lot of times it's the same enemies. So I don't know if like something's broken my game. Like I beat Mom, you know, and like I beat Mom and it went to an ending, you know, and then I had to start over. So now my save file shows Isaac standing on top of her back, right. You know? So, and I unlocked a few characters, but it's not really done anything. Like the best I can do with it is to use Eve, because she has the thing where she has like I think it's called Horror of Babylon, where she turns into a demon after her hearts go down. And it like comes up and says, "What a terrible night to have a curse," like Castlevania 2. And she starts shooting these gigantic bloody tears, which is another Castlevania reference. So, you know, and they're super powerful and they hit really, you know, they're the distance on them is really good. But then like she only has two hearts. And if you go back up all the way, she transforms back into her regular self.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like a catch 22. Plus, she has like a dead bird hanging out on her head.
Yeah, it's such a weird
thing. And like
game,
if you get hit, the dead bird comes to life and starts flying around pecking on enemies.
Yeah.
It's like the irreverent stuff about this game is what I like, you know, like I get it. And I will say that as a roguelike, I think I like it better than Has-Been Heroes.
Yeah.
But it's not like I have to be careful when I play it at my house. That's all I'll say. It's not like, hey kids, let's sit down and play Binding of Isaac. Nah, we're not going to do that.
Yeah. Especially
my only experience with this game is on the PS4. I got the previous version, the Binding of Isaac Rebirth, which I think was probably a PlayStation Plus free game 1 month, several years ago. And, you know, I think I put like an hour or two into it, you know, getting better and better, sometimes getting lucky with my items, sometimes not. And, you know, between levels, you know, there's looks like a bonus room where you can get a chest and then you go on to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
At least that.
Yeah.
I beat level 4. I went to that bonus, what I thought was a bonus item, before going to level 5, and it killed me. And I said, screw this, I'm shutting it off, and I haven't went back to it.
It's definitely, yeah, there are definitely curses that you can get. Like you can, and I think that's actually a really interesting part of the game is that realization that, oh man, that thing that I think might help me may totally screw me over. Right, I don't know if you've seen the doors.
I understand
with teeth.
A cursed chest in the middle of a level, but what I thought was a bonus chest for finishing a level, that was rude.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I love the stacking upgrades, and I love the fact that there's just tons and tons and tons of stuff to find in this game. It's just I'm at this one impasse, and maybe that's just what I need. Maybe Zach, maybe this is the moment where I have to, as you said, get good. You know, but I don't know. I guess that's going to happen eventually. Because it's not happening right now. Like I tried to play it today too, and I was like, oh, I can't.
Well, as my kids would say, L2P, learn to play.
Oh, there you go.
Learn to play. And maybe that's what it is. I just need to learn to play.
Well, and the thing is too, that I've found, and I think this is again with any roguelike, you also have to sometimes, in order to progress, you have to play enough times that the odds are like just. The nature of the odds are that you are eventually going to be able to, you're going to do a run and you're going to find some item that is way overpowered and it's going to get you over that hump to the next one.
Which is totally what happened when I beat Mom.
Yeah, exactly.
So I found like this laser vision thing that shot out like this giant laser explosion ball.
It's like
a cyclops. And it wiped out everything in its path.
Yeah, exactly. So that's a, a part of it too. And the difference between this, you know, comparing this to Has-Been Heroes, I played a little bit more of it. The difference between this and Has-Been Heroes is that that loop with A Binding of Isaac is really, really fun, right? To just to be playing that sort of old school Zelda type gameplay.
The top down dungeon crawler Zelda vibe just totally won me over, you know, even during the first playthrough. So I'm glad I got it. I don't want to sound like a downer on it. I'm down on it right now.
Yeah.
Because it's just not like I want to go further.
Yeah.
And I'm not good enough. I suck at it. So I need I've read that there's some like beginner and intermediate guides on the web about it. I guess cool. I need to just look those up.
For some reason, I thought you were going to say the dark web because I don't know why. But
yeah, but they're on the dank web. They're right by the memes.
Nice. You've also been playing Lego City Undercover.
I have. I picked this up on Tuesday mainly because, look, I knew it was probably going to be the same game that I already had for Wii U, but they suckered me in with co-op. Because the first one didn't have it at all. And I was super pissed about that when it first came out. Like, I was like, why can't every other Lego game I can play two player? Why can I not play this two player? Mm-hmm. And my son and I sat down and played it yesterday for about an hour and had an absolute blast.
Nice.
Playing it because like it totally like you are the same character. This is what I love about it. Like, it's so ridiculous. Awesome. You're both Chase McCain. Just one of them's a little bit differently dressed than the other. And so, like, there's parts of it where, like, you know, you can get in a car and let the other person drive you around and drive off a bridge or, you know, like, chase down a crook and both of you, like, you know, tag team it and kind of come at them from different ways. So, like, I see how the game is going to be different. Like, it's still a game that is tailored to a one-player experience. But the fact that they were able to get co-op in there, you know, and this game has tons of like weird characters because it's not like licensed. So it's just the Lego City people, you know, so like you've got Dracula and you've got like Mummy and a guy in a hot dog suit or a T-Rex suit, you know, and I found one last night. It was a crash test dummy.
Oh, man.
And so, you know, you can get all of these things and like the I don't know. Have you ever played it?
I haven't played Lego City Undercover. I have played the both of the Marvel ones.
Okay.
And other than that, I haven't really.
The way that you get this do in this game, you know, like is counterintuitive to other Lego games. In other Lego games, you have to have different characters who have different abilities, like, you right. know, specific things they can do. Chase McCain can do everything, but it's only because he has costumes that allow him to do it. So like at the very beginning, you start out in civilian clothes and then you get your police uniform, which lets you shoot a grappling gun and do other things, you know, like police check-in points and different things like that. Later on, you get a robber and he can pry open doors mm-hmm. or later on, there's even like a spaceman or a pig farmer or all like seriously. Yeah. All these different awesome. Things, and you can't do the things that need to be done until you have those. So like you have this giant open world with all these challenges and gold bricks and stuff to find, and you may see something and you'll go, oh man, I'd really like to get that. But it's not like just switching out a character. You have right. to have those. And then each of those characters, like the farmer has multiple skins for the farmer. Oh. So you can be like a female farmer or a male farmer or a clown farmer or a pig dressed as a farmer, you know, or stuff like that. Yeah, there's lots of pig riding in this game.
That's awesome.
Like that's one of the farmer's quests is to find all the hidden pigs in Lego City and ride them back to the farm, or actually ride them to a cannon that he then shoves them in and shoots them back to the farm.
What the crap?
The sense of humor in this game is fantastic. Tons of like call outs to
like
stuff like Dirty Harry and MacGyver and
I've seen like
Columbo,
the Shawshank Redemption.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. There's it, just like seeing all that, like it's the Lego or Traveler's Tales or whoever makes it. It's their humor at its best. Really?
Yeah.
I would recommend it. Like if you have kids mm-hmm. and you like Lego games or like my spouse, like Erin, she loves to play Lego games and we've pretty much played all of them together. I'm looking forward to playing through this with her. Whereas before we just had to kind of sit and watch each other.
Mm-hmm.
now we can play it together. And actually, we can play it wherever we go, you know. So as long as, because I've got a pro controller and we've got the Joy-Con grip, so she can grab one of those, I can grab the other, and we can play it. You know, like, we're going to my parents' house this weekend. We're going to take the Switch. We're probably not taking a dock, but I guarantee you we'll play some LEGO City Undercover.
Nice. That reminds me, actually, of one of the things that I got this week. I didn't really play. I don't have anything new that I've been playing. I played a little bit more Snake Pass and Has-Been Heroes. Nothing really to report, though. But I did get this, which I don't know if either of you guys have gotten this, but this is actually the stand, the Hori Play stand or whatever. Which the selling point here is that you can actually dock it. So I'll show you on my Switch here. I'll turn the screen on so you kind of see it a little better. So you actually, what you can see, and for the audio people, I apologize, but there's actually, you know, you flip it down. It kind of is, it feels like a similar build quality to, I don't know if anybody else has the 3DS stand that came with Kid Icarus Uprising. Similar sort of build quality, maybe. But it's a little more sturdy in how it's constructed. But basically, if you can see this on the bottom, you know, on the bottom of your Switch, you've got the two little holes that kind of center the Switch when it docks in. They actually have two little pegs in the bottom here, if you can see that right here, so that it actually sits in place and the cord can dangle out the bottom. There's actually a hole here too, so what I've actually done, and so it like folds up and everything, so it's nice and flat. It unfolds like that and then pop that thing down, and so it's actually like this from a side point. But what's nice is that you can actually, they've created it in such a way that you can actually fish your cord through the bottom, and so then it actually through the stand and underneath and plug in while you're playing, which is nice. So it's not like, so the cord isn't like hanging out and whatever and being annoying. So you basically can have it plugged in, just fish through the bottom little thing there, which is really convenient and nice. So and then it has three different settings as far as how you want to set it. So you could have it be like this, or you know, leaned all the way back, so it's like that, depending, you know, to like a 45 degree angle all the way up to like a, I don't know, what is that, like an 80 degree angle, something like that. So I really like it. It's cool. It was $17 Canadian. I don't know what it is in the States, like 12 or 13 bucks.
Well, that means it's like $3.
Yeah, at least. Yeah. It's probably, actually what you do is that they give you money and this when you go to buy it. So
thanks for coming into our store. Take this, please.
We will pay you to take this. Yeah, exactly. So that's all I've really got is that little thing there. But it's nice. It's nice to be able to play this in tabletop mode without having to, you know, while also being able to plug it in. And so for that, it's great. It's nice to also just kind of prop it up. This kickstand, I guess, maybe talking about that 1 month thing, I've completely given up all faith in this kickstand. It's garbage. I don't trust it to hold up my Switch unless it's sitting propped up on a surface. You know, and I think that's what it's for, but also you want it to be sturdy. And that's what I think is nice about having this, this little stand. So, yeah. So that's all I've really been playing. Lots of Zelda. Hunting dragons. Got the special green suit for beating all the shrines and stuff. So that's kind of where I'm at. Jesse, what have you been playing, dude?
So yeah, we already talked about Zelda a bit, so I won't get too much into that. But what I did, I picked up last week when it launched on the 3DS, small little $5 game called Brave Dungeon, which is kind of a dungeon crawler, turn-based combat RPG that started out pretty fun. I'm kind of getting to the point where I got to grind to get anywhere. But do you remember when you started the Pocket Jockey card solitaire game? What was the first thing that happened? Do you remember?
You die.
Didn't they?
You die.
Give you some money? No. Yeah, you die. That's right.
So this is kind of the same thing. You're this overzealous adventurer that wants to get into the hardest dungeon of the game, and that's where they start you, right in the hardest dungeon of the game. You walk forward, your first combat, and they smear you. And then you wake up in the inn, and then the innkeeper said, don't do that. You're too weak. Find some party members and try smaller dungeons and work your way up. So
nice.
So interesting way to start it. So you have a choice of four characters to pick two from to build your party. I picked one seems to be more of a melee attack person. One is kind of a mix between a less combat with the ability to self-heal. One is a full-blown healer, and the other kind of I don't remember what her description was, but it's basically she specializes in debuffs, which I probably should have brought her along. And the entire cast is all women, so that's why I said her. So I ended up picking the one who can heal herself with some decent combat and a healer. And at that, I was able to go into the first dungeon and pretty much clear out the first level. And then you're able to go into any of the five dungeons at any time, at least level one, and then to see how you do. You have to beat the boss of the level to get to the next level. But once you've done it once, you don't have to do it again. You can just go right from level one to level two. And it kind of maps out. I don't know if it kind of draws the map while you progress, kind of like Etrian Odyssey on auto map mode, but even simpler than that. You don't have to do anything. It just draws it as you walk. So once you 100% map a level, then it gives you the ability to run away from fights. But of course, once you do that, you're so powerful for that level, you'll never need to. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so I'm to the point where I finished level one on the first four dungeons. I finished level two on the first dungeon. And so far, I haven't been able to go any further. So I'm probably going to have to grind. It gives you the ability to what they call a class change. That's kind of a silly way of describing it. But for every 10 levels, you get bonus. You can choose between two different options. One gives you more, like 10 attack and 5 defense, and a new ability. The other gives you 5 attack and 10 defense and a new ability. So depending on how you want to build out your characters, you can choose that. And during combat, they have a revenge meter that when you get to a certain, when that fills up, it opens up like a power move one of the characters heals everybody. One of the characters does like 6 attacks randomly to the enemies. So so depending on the character, it gives a different ability. So it's for a $5, for a $5 game, it's a good time waster. It's, not much of a big story, but it is a relaxing change of pace over 75 hours of Zelda. Nice. When I play Zelda, that's what I'm focused on. But this is something I can just play while I'm doing other stuff in the background, because it's just pushing, especially when I get to the point where I can kill monsters in one hit. I just A, and then move to the next fight. So I'll probably play more of this in my free time, but if you like dungeon crawlers, it's pretty good for a $5 game.
Nice. Right on, man. Very cool. Well, with that, I think maybe what we'll do is we'll head into a little segment we like to call
Wobble Puffet, Wobble Buffet.
Justin asks. So of course Justin is our
That's the bumper music.
Yeah, that's gonna be our bumper for that. maybe I'll add some like sound effects or something along with it, and
us saying you're not here, you can't do anything about it.
So basically what we have, I'm going to play Justin Asks, of course, is our weekly segment where Justin Masson, our fourth member of the show, asks people via our YouTube channel, a question of the week. And so I'm going to play this. It's, and we will, then read some of the comments and kind of discuss this question. So let's go for it. Maybe. Oh, you know what? Is there going to be an ad? Don't you dare be an ad. Or are you just going to sit there? There you go.
Hey guys, what's going on? It's Justin Masson from Nintendo Dads, and a little bit of an update, right? I'm not on the show right now. I'm doing these Ask Justin or Justin Asks videos. And as an FYI, for those of you paying attention, I am 2 weeks away from moving to Ireland, so it's very exciting. But I'm not traveling this week, so this week I'm actually packing up my house. And I got packing up some of my Nintendo stuff, because obviously I can't take it all with me. The only thing I'm taking with me is my Switch. And a couple games. So that's it. Well, I shouldn't say only thing. I'm taking my DS with me as well, right? But I'm not taking my Wii U with me. So I had to put everything in a box. So I'm going to show you this. Hold on a second. Ready? Okay, hold on.
Oh, nice.
All right, guys. So here we are. This is literally an entire Tupperware box. And it's – oh, my gosh. It's heavy. But there's a ton of stuff in here. Look at that. We got Donkey Kong Country Returns, Twilight Princess. We got like a Mario stuffy. We've got some Splatoon hat, of course, right? My wicked Splatoon hat. Metroid Other M. An old school NES, all of that stuff, right? Because I couldn't part with it. I really couldn't. Look at this. Yeah. Chrono Trigger for the DS. Actually,
oh,
fan sent.
What so I would do for awesome. That? That's awesome.
My old my Nintendo books, right from down here. Here's my the old. Oh, there's the Legend of Zelda Historia book, right in there. Okay, tons of stuff. I've got amiibos that I didn't unbox. All that kind of stuff. So a lot of stuff going in storage. It has to go in storage because it can't come over to Ireland with me. So I have to. It's hard, right? I'm kind of like separating. It's like, you know, as I'm shutting the lid, that Sarah McLachlan's "I Will Remember You" is going. So it's crazy. I don't know, but it got me thinking. All right, guys. So here is the question for the week for Justin Asks. What do you do with old consoles? Do you sell them off? Do you keep them in like blue bins like this? And like, my wife, that NES in there, that's my wife's. She has had it for like forever, right? And we've just kept it. Like, we're not getting rid of it. But like, what do you do with your old systems? Some people are total like, hey, I purge. I sell everything off either privately or through like a GameStop. And I get my money for my new system. Do you keep them? Do you keep them for a specific amount of time? Do you put them in a bin and like you're going to store them and eventually one day you're going to pull out this like big massive box of old systems and you're going to, you know, play old games? Or do you have like this massive crazy home entertainment console where like every system you've ever owned is plugged in and attached? So my question is, what do you do? What do you do with your old systems? How do you manage them? Yeah, that's kind of my question. So, and maybe I guess my other question is like, how long do you hold on for a system? And a sub question is, have you ever got rid of a system that you're like, I totally regret that? I know for myself, I totally regret getting rid of my N64 and my Super Nintendo now, you know, 20 years looking back. But let me know. Let me know in the comments below. Guys, hopefully you guys are enjoying this whole Justin Asks series. And I'll keep you apprised as to my moving and how it's going. But yeah, it's super exciting. Guys, thanks for tuning in, and thanks for always subscribing and supporting Nintendo Dads. Myself and the other gentlemen really appreciate it. Thanks very much. Be well.
Be well, Justin. Be well. Right on. Very cool. So, you guys, what do you think? What are your thoughts? Justin's packing up all of his stuff. What do you think, Jesse? How do you deal with old consoles?
Yeah, I am exactly what he said in his last example. Is everything is connected in my entertainment center. Everything that I have that still is viable is connected to that thing.
Wow, dude, that's cool.
And yeah, you know, pretty much everything that's HDMI'd connection is on my main TV. So I have like an old Intellivision and a PS2 that's on my other TV on the side.
That's it's a CRT like in the back, right?
The CRT behind me, because playing those games on an LCD.
No, it looks like garbage.
It looks like garbage. They are meant to be played on a CRT. And then my old Wii is upstairs because we wanted to get that out of the way. But it is still connected to a TV, playable. Sometimes my son will go upstairs and play on it.
Mm-hmm.
But mainly because it's not HDMI. If it was HDMI, it probably would still be down here.
Nice. So you keep everything. You don't sell any of it.
I don't get rid of anything, and not until it breaks.
Yeah, I used to sell stuff a lot. I don't anymore. Actually, I had that moment of regret. So yeah, I don't know. What about you, Marty? What are you?
Yeah, I'm a seller.
Are you?
mainly because I like to be an early adopter, and it's only through purging what is in my collection that I'm able to get what I need to have to be an early adopter.
Mm-hmm.
So backstory to this is that when GameStop was actually EB Games here in the United States, and also a game store called Babbage's, EB Games was the first game store that I knew of that was like, yeah, you could trade in your old games and we'll give you store credit, which at the time blew my mind. I was like, oh my gosh, I can get rid of, and I had like maybe 50 NES games. So,
oh no, I don't know where I don't like where this is going.
by the time,
and you got that, $3.
Yeah, well, so by the time that the Game Boy Advance came out, mm-hmm. I had pared down my collection considerably, just going in and trading them in for games that I wanted, you know, or getting things that, because it wasn't back then, it wasn't like, hey, let's put that on a store card for you and you can come in and use it whenever you want. It was like, you got to use it today. Ooh. You know, you've got to use this game. You've got to use this game credit right now. So I would go in and do that. And so I do remember trading in the last of my Nintendo 64 games and the console and possibly my Super Nintendo for the Game Boy Advance, and not the SP, like the one that you couldn't see at all, you know, and maybe like three or four games with the Game Boy Advance. Since then, though, like I only traded in my PlayStation 3 when I got a PlayStation 4. I only traded in my Xbox 360 when Xbox messed up and screwed up when they put out the one, and I decided I didn't want to be a part of Microsoft's silliness anymore. I actually traded in my 360 and used that for Wii U credit. So I had several games for it, but like right now I've got my Wii U, and for the first time I'm keeping the Wii U. Okay. And mainly because I invested so much in Virtual Console and I have so many games that who knows if they'll come to the Switch or not. Right. Mm-hmm. So there's that. So I'm keeping the Wii U for the kids. It's in their room. I don't know. Like, I see the value in keeping it because there's parts of me that I'm like, if you want to know what I regret, it's the Super Nintendo, man. I wish I still had every game and my original Super Nintendo that I could play anytime I wanted to. But I don't. And it was a mistake, and I'm okay with that in a way, but like part of me wishes I had like unlimited money and I could just go back and get everything that I wanted.
Yeah. My old Super Nintendo was one that, you know, when my kids were like 3 and 4 years old and they learned how to hook it up and play it for themselves, with all the moving around that thing did from TV to TV, that thing didn't last very long after that. They ended up busting it.
Mm-hmm.
So I wish I still had it, but but now, you know, we have the NES Classic that can modded that can play just about anything I wanted. If it was a Super Nintendo game I wanted to play, I could still play it on that.
Yeah, it's definitely I don't know. It's funny because I now have a very well, when I got married, my wife brought a Nintendo 64 into the marriage, which is handy. She's a keeper immediately, but as well, I didn't have an N64. I know growing up, we always sold the old one to get the new one and stuff like that. And I just kind of reached this point where I was like, man, I wish I had all my old stuff. Like, what's going on here? I wish, like, I'm really, like, I do have my SP, my Game Boy Advance SP that I got, like, I want to say it was, like, late high school. And like, maybe, like, grade 11, grade 12, something like that. And I was... and it's still like, that thing is still, you know, awesome. I love my SP, but I didn't have like my old Game Boy Color that I played a ton. And so now I just have this policy that I don't necessarily want to, or I for sure don't want to sell any of my Nintendo stuff. Like moving forward, the only exceptions that I will make is like, as long as I have some sort of a system I can play this game on and on the original hardware, right? So like, I don't want to be playing, like moving forward, I don't want to play, I won't necessarily want to keep, I won't sell a DS because I can play DS games on my 3DS. Like I want to have at least one DS, right? Like a DS Lite or whatever. And so that's kind of where I'm at with it. So when I got the new 3DS, I sold my 3DS XL, but it was only because I had a model for the new one, right?
And so yeah, the DS has always been a trade up for me. Like, you know, okay, so I'm trading in my DS on my DS Lite. I'm going to trade my DS Lite on my DSi. I'm going to trade the DSi on the 3DS XL or the 3DS. Mm-hmm. Trade 3DS on the XL. Now I'm going to trade 3DS XL on the new 3DS XL.
In my case, they were hand-me-downs to my kids. I get the new toy, they get the old toy.
That's exactly
my latest was I'm going to sell my new 3DS XL to a friend, and that's going to cover the purchase of my new 3DS.
Yeah. And when I sold my new 3DS XL, that went to the Switch. And I still have a new 3DS, like the small new 3DS.
I really am glad that I downgraded to the size, but I know that's neither here nor there to this conversation, but
yeah, absolutely.
You know, in a way I don't really see, like, cause it's in the same family of systems. I don't necessarily know that I see.
I can't go back to the small size. I like the XL.
The portability is really cool though. Like I do like comparing it to the XL, I do like the portability and the faceplates option. Like it's kind of a fun thing there, but let's go ahead and read some of the, does anybody else here have some of these comments open on the YouTube video? I can read some of them for sure, but
I can bring them up.
Yeah. So Leo,
I've got it.
Yeah. So I'll read one and then you can read a couple if you want, Marty, I'll read a couple. Sure. So Leo Wright says, it depends. I have an NES, SNES and GameCube and Wii U and three 3DS systems, but I have a reason for all of them. I sold Game Boy, Fat, GBA, and all the games after every one of the games I thought I might want to play showed up on either 3DS or Wii U Virtual Console. We still play all the systems we kept, so why would I ditch them? If the day ever comes that we don't touch them anymore, I'll sell or gift. Very cool. So kind of going, like, as long as you can play the games that you want to play, and that it's like in an acceptable way, I guess. And for me, especially with the handheld stuff, it's like, no, I want to be able to play Super Mario Land 2 on the freaking green and slightly darker green Game Boy, right? Like that is the way that's how I played that game in my childhood. And so I actually went back and scoured eBay and was like, no, I got to find a old school Game Boy, and I repaired it and made it nice and it runs really well. It had like the blank lines in it, and I opened it up and remelted the glue, because that's basically what happens, remelted the glue on the screen so that it all works fine again. And Brendan Myers says, I have only traded in my DSi for my 3DS that I regret, though I don't regret trading in my 3DS for my Majora's Mask new 3DS. I have, in the most part, kept everything, and I display it in my man cave. That is one thing that eventually I do want to do, is have a cool display of everything. Right now it's all in a bin, right? And to be able to display it, I love that idea. That's a really good idea. Marty, you want to read a couple?
Yeah. Eric Plunk says, I've always sold previous systems to help fund the next one. So a lot like me. In a perfect world, I would have kept them all. In recent months, I've acquired an NES, SNES, and an N64, so I'm slowly buying my childhood back. I'm limiting myself to games that aren't available via Virtual Console. That's actually a really good plan for that. You know, I mean, there's some good gems out there, too. They're like GoldenEye. That would be a good one for the N64.
Yeah, there's a few. There's a few that I that I have specifically went back and bought, even though you can buy them again. Like just the fact, like, oh, look at that cartridge, right? Like, look at that. I said it before, Super Mario Land 2, the 6 golden coins Game Boy cartridge. I'm like, yes.
Oh yeah,
that's awesome. Yeah. So
yeah, and there's something about, and I think we've talked about this before with the NES Classic. There's something about playing those games the way they're meant to be played, you know, with that controller or that system. That's the whole reason I think the NES Classic was a big deal to me, was I wanted my son, who is the primary video gamer in the house besides me, to be able to experience the games that I loved as a kid the way I experienced them.
Absolutely.
You know, there's that nostalgia factor. So White Ace 86 says, in the past, I sold all my consoles and I really regretted it. Over the last 3 years, I slowly found them again and now have the all-in-one entertainment system with them all hooked up and ready to play. I am jealous of that guy.
Yeah, totally. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Jesse, you got this built? You got this, you got this pulled up?
Yeah, I finally did. I used the link in the notes, which was the link to last week's video. I'm like, where are you seeing this? Oh, I have the wrong video.
Okay, you want to read a couple?
So,
why don't you go with Gary? Gary Croxford, I think, is one we haven't read yet.
All right, there he is. Hi, Justin. I've had a very similar experience to you. I moved from the UK to Toronto just a bit over 2 years ago, and when I left, I brought all of my systems with me, only to be faced with not being to easily get physical games due to region locking. Because of that, I missed out on 2 years of Nintendo goodness until the Switch, to be honest. So now I've completed the story in Breath of the Wild. I've gone out and bought a Canadian new 3DS XL, gone on an Amazon shopping extravaganza with that system, and spent a load of pounds on the UK eShop on things like Wind Waker HD, etc. Best of luck with the move.
Right on. All right, let's read couple more here. One from Adam Leonard, who is probably going to have to restart Zelda. I'm just going to keep saying it. I think the episode title is just RIP Adam's Zelda save file.
He's going to hate us.
I know. He totally is. We love you, Adam. So he says, John ended up with all the stuff, with a lot of the stuff we had as kids, so it's in good hands. Other systems that I lost track of in my early adult days, I've recently started buying used again to mount on my office feature wall shelf, which is really cool, by the way. You never get to see it when he's on video, but it's really cool. And then Adam Goswick, I've sold almost all of them except for the Wii, especially for the GameCube backwards compatibility, and a couple of Game Boy systems. Looking back now, I regret it in almost every case. So that's the thing, man. That's the thing. I don't know. It's one of the themes that is in a lot of these as well. We don't have time to read all of them, but the fact that there's something about Nintendo stuff specifically that is even harder to let go of, or that, you know what I mean? Where
there's incredible regret with it, I think, is what I'm seeing. Like, almost everybody in here says regret, regret, regret.
Yeah, it's
I do want to say there's a guy in here who talked about Bruce Patterson. I won't read his comment, but he talked about losing consoles as he moved around, and one of those being like the TurboGrafx-16 and the Turbo Duo, which was what was the first Switch. Did you realize that?
No.
The Turbo Duo was created as a portable TurboGrafx-16. You can plug your game card in and take it with you with a battery. I think the battery life was like an hour on like four or five or six AAA batteries. But it came with a cord that you could buy where you could hook it up to your TV, if I'm remembering correctly.
Wow. Those game cards were about, you know, thinner, but it was about pretty much the size of like this phone.
Yeah. So
I'm holding up a 5S in case.
They were almost like a credit card. For that. So yeah, you could take this. I'm sorry, the Turbo Duo was the CD-ROM and Turbo Graphics together. I'm sorry. The one I'm thinking of is the Turbo Express.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. So I believe that one had the biggest deal with it was a TV tuner that you could buy, and you could watch TV on the go.
Wow.
On it. Yeah.
That's crazy.
I want to be sure, because, like, I hate to hold this up, but, like, I wanted to be sure that you could take this thing. I really do feel like you could, you know, battery life is 3 hours for six AAA batteries. Oh.
And that's not, that was like before the days where you could go to Costco and buy an obscene number of batteries for dirt cheap too.
Sure. And this was, look, in the 90s, when this thing came out, in 90s money, this was $250 and $299. It was the same price as the Switch.
Holy cow.
In like 91.
That's crazy.
TurboVision was the TV tuner adapter. It allowed a player to either watch television or go back to playing games with the flip of a Switch. You could use it as a video monitor. It also, it includes an RCA audio video input for external composite video signals.
That's crazy.
So anyway, like it wasn't able to go out to the TV. So I was wrong about that. So before someone comes along and goes, I was totally wrong, and I'll eat crow on that. You could not display it. Since
all of the analog signals for television are dead now, so the TurboVision is kind of useless.
That's true.
That's funny.
Unless you want to hook your hook up your Wii U to it, to the external composite video signals.
Wow. Right on. Okay, so so that's Justin Asks. Thanks, everybody. Justin, we hope your travels coming up here are good, and we miss you. And have a good time packing up your entire life. That sounds really exciting. That sounds terrible, actually. Let's very quickly get into some listener mail, shall we?
Sure.
So, of course, listener mail is brought to us by patreon.com/NintendoDads. So if you want to support the show, you guys are amazing. Those of you who do, I mean, we've already got like some crazy number of patrons now. And for those of you who do not support the show, first off, what are you doing? Second of all, for just $1 a month, you can support the show, which is, it's not very much money. 38 patrons, craziness. It's a good time. So we really appreciate you guys. You guys are amazing. So, emails. We have one.
Three.
We have three. What are we at time wise? Yeah, we've got time for that. Why not? We have a really big one that we've been sitting on for quite a while from Jamie.
Right. Right. And I think for sake of time, what we'll do here is we'll just cut it down to his actual question.
All right, let's do it.
Just in brief, because Jamie, we don't want to push you to the side or anything here. But again, we are kind of getting late in the show. Basically, his question was spurred on by Zach's criticism of the Zelda DLC. And basically, he kind of starts out, kind of poking you a little bit, saying that it's hard for him to believe that you praised Hyrule Warriors DLC. But not this. And one of the things that he did make a point, though, that is that if a consumer purchases the special edition of any game, they should get the DLC. It should be included. And I totally agree with that as well.
Yep.
I'm just going to start reading from this point. It says, I'm a big enough Zelda fan that in 2 years, when there is a drought, I will pick up the game on the Switch after the beta tester / day one adopter / ambassador / hardcore / Nintendo faithful have played it on the new console to see what differences there are, if any. Perhaps Nintendo has it in them to make a Game of the Year edition with the DLC included. I'm going to miss out on the Splatoon 2 release, but rumor has it they're going to be trickling out content as well as they did for the first game. So for me, the Switch is going to be a holiday purchase with Mario, assuming it's not delayed. Hush. Don't say it. I'm sure there are other listeners who feel the same way. At this point, you probably have already addressed the reports on why Switch influencers complaining over the left Joy-Con. Note that this is an email we've been, like Zach said, we've been sitting on for a while. So let's get to the question. My question today is there a console you regret buying at launch because of all the day one patches you were forced to endure? Second question, will the latency of the Joy-Cons and lack of online features tempt you to try the vanilla version of Breath of the Wild on Wii U and cancel your pre-orders for the Switch? And thanks again for providing fun content for me to listen to around my kids and keeping the show family friendly. Parentheses, that one is for Justin. Ha ha. Parentheses. Yeah, so Justin, let's go ahead and answer the obvious question.
Okay.
Are we going to spring for the vanilla version of Breath of the Wild on Wii U?
No.
Nope.
No.
All of that stuff did not cause us to cancel our pre-orders. In fact, it just didn't faze us. I mean, we worried about it probably, but I do want to dive into this greater question there. Is there a console that you regret buying at launch because of all the day one patches, Zach?
No, because this is the first one that I bought at launch. I will say that, in fact, the only other one that I would say I bought within, I guess I bought the Wii U within launch window, and I bought the 3DS. I want to say, probably launch window. I bought the 3DS around the time that Ocarina of Time came out. So,
okay.
So that's
launch within window, 6 months.
Yeah. So, the 3DS, I didn't regret it because I feel like, because I was part of the ambassador program, and that was like for those who felt like the 3DS was worth it. Like, yes, it was expensive, but it was also a purchase I was willing to make. And so that was like a badge of honor for me. Like, man,
I ended up buying two units at launch. So I have two units floating around here that have ambassador content. Yeah,
I have transferred my stuff from system to system to system. And my new 3DS that I use today still has my ambassador games.
Same
on
here.
Same.
It's awesome. And so I don't regret that. The Wii U, I didn't really, it's not really like you I don't understand the logic that you would regret it. I think that it's like, is this a system that you're interested in playing? Yes or no. If it is, then, you know, then you're along for the ride, right? Like, I think that's just kind of a given that, okay, well, there may be a little bit of, you know, some growing pains, and, you know, you got to learn that Nintendo's got to learn, you know, the ins and outs of their own system and figuring all that out, and the launch lineup of the Wii U and all of that. But I bought it because it was something that I knew I was going to play long term. And so that was something that I was really excited for. And when stuff came out, I was excited. And the thing is that with any system, and I'm finding it with the Wii U as well, with the Switch, is especially in those early days, I find myself really playing some games that I otherwise wouldn't play because I'm excited to play my system. And I don't know if I necessarily would have been interested in getting something like Fast RMX or Human Resource Machine or Blaster Master Zero. Once you get later into the life cycle, I find that I become very much like, okay, is this Nintendo or is this something that everybody says is amazing? If not, then I'm not going to play it. And now I'm at this point. At the beginning of a life cycle, it's kind of the Wild West, right? And you're excited to play just about anything. So that's kind of where, I don't know. That's where I'm at with that. I don't regret it.
I wouldn't say I necessarily regretted it, but my first like day or two with the Wii U sucked.
Really?
It was really bad because we had moved to where we live now and we had terrible internet. And I pre-ordered it at a GameStop. Of course, near me, and then moved, and they wouldn't transfer my pre-order. Mm-hmm. So thinking I would lose it, you know, because surely the Wii U is going to be out of stock. Right. You know, I thought I'll just have to leave it there and I'll drive it, you know, to go get it. So it was like an hour one way and an hour back to get there. And so finally, I'm finally able to sit down and play it, and I can't do anything with it, and it's slow as crap, and you know, like I'm just sitting there like, you know, why is this like it is, you know, why day one updates that day one updates are the scourge of video gaming right now, you know? And I say that knowing full well that there's been a number of day one updates for the Switch,
yeah.
You know, even for the system itself, but like just ship the game the way it's supposed to be. Like, I don't want to download a patch. I'm ready to play the game, you know? And the Switch has done pretty good so far. Nintendo and I guess publishers have done pretty well so far that those patches on the Switch are not huge because, like, I mean, think about like loading up, say, Breath of the Wild the day that you needed to download the new patch for it, right? Compared to like installing a PlayStation 4 game and then finding out it had updates that you had to get before you played it.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's that's an hour later, you know?
Yeah. I think the Switch does a really good job with that stuff where it's like, okay, well, it is going to happen, but it's not so it doesn't prevent you from playing the game, I guess. Right.
Yeah. That's the main reason why I don't own any physical PS4 games. The only game my son has a few Call of Duties, and I'm getting a physical Persona 5 because I'm getting the Deluxe edition, but other than that, I'm 100% digital on that system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but you know, for my answer is, have I regretted it? No, because I expect it. You know, I didn't get a Wii until like 4 months after it launched, and I know its first patch or download firmware update was like an hour long.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah, it was pretty big.
I don't know if it was just because it was that big, Nintendo servers were that slow. My network was slow, a combination of all of the above. I don't know, but but ever since that, I've been, if not day one, week, I've been a week one purchase. You know, the DSi, 3DS, Wii U. Well, I guess PS4 was a few months later. Switch was launch day, and as far as I remember, maybe not the 3DSs and DSIs, but every single system had a day one firmware update. It's just part of how things work. You've got to draw the line in the sand at some point. This ships with this. That doesn't mean they stop development. They keep building patches internally and push it out as a day one patch. That includes hardware, firmware, and software updates.
Yeah, it's craziness. It's not so going away either.
Yeah, you know, so it's just I expect them. So I don't think it's a bad thing. It's not a good thing, but it's not so bad that, oh, I should have just waited for another 6 months and waited until the patch was already applied. Because guess what? There'll be more patches later.
Yeah.
Big deal.
Yeah, for sure. So I do want to very quickly address the calling out as well. Just very quickly with this about the DLC. With the DLC for Zelda. I still maintain that the way that they announced the DLC for Zelda was not very nice. It was not very good. It, you know, announcing DLC for a game before it's even released is just not like, if you have a list of like video game release best practices, announcing DLC before the game's out is not on the list. I would say, however, being over 100 hours into this game now, having completed all 120 shrines, having collected the majority of the armor and stuff like that, I am more than ready for DLC in this game. I am so excited for it. This is the first game I've played 100 hours of this game, and I'm starting to run out of things to do other than Korok seeds and side quests, which I'll probably still keep doing. But I'm considering like creating another account on my Switch so that I can start another save file.
My son's already done that.
Right. And I'm like, that's kind of where I'm at with this. I'm like, I want to keep playing it. I'm not done. I have not gotten bored of this game, and it seems to be running out of things for me to do other than, you know, the little collect-a-thon, whatever, but it's so fun that I want to do it again. And DLC is going to be awesome. I'm looking forward to hard mode. Like, I know that as soon as that hard mode is out, I'm starting again, and I'm going to do the whole game again because that's just how fun this game is. So The DLC, I'm really excited about it. I'm glad that they're doing DLC. I want more of this world. I want more of this game. Still not a fan of the fact that you cannot buy each DLC piecemeal, and I'm not a fan of the fact that they incentivized you with 3 chests to buy all of it right now. I did it. I paid for all of it, but it was such a throwaway incentive that it was, you know, with just the single shirt and then two other chests.
I never did find two out of the three chests.
Yeah. So, and I mean, the shirt you can't even upgrade, right? So like it's cool that you have this shirt here, but it's like, okay, well, I can't even, it's not even, I would like to be able to upgrade it, you know, but I can't. So, I don't know, whatever. It's still fun, but anyway. All right. Well, gentlemen, I think maybe we'll hold on to these other two emails for next time, given what, the fact that we're running up to 2 hours here. So,
Definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. So we will let those go for next time. By the way, everybody, if you are curious or wondering, we are going to be doing another Zelda spoiler session next week. And then soon, I know we've been putting Retro Rewind on hold. But those will be coming in this, you know, within the next several weeks, we'll be recording those as well. So, hope you're still playing Super Mario World. And if not, that's okay because we're playing Switch. But we'll get together and talk about Super Mario World, right?
If Mario World was released on the Switch, it'd be easier to play.
Yeah, exactly. So,
yeah, absolutely.
So we'll be getting there, but I think maybe, you know, this in the spirit of, Retro Rewind, those spoiler specials are going to be coming as well. So, I think that kind of fills that gap as well. So, Marty, can you think of anything else that we've got or Jesse, as we kind of round out the show here, as far as things people need to be aware of that Justin would normally tell people about? I can't.
Well, I mean, I think you've already reminded people about this, but I mean, go ahead and play those games. I mean, we're going to get to them eventually.
Yeah.
There is going to be a time where we do play Super Mario World and talk about it, and also Double Dragon. We still need to do that. But I think that just a clarity, you know, for clarity's sake, that our Zelda playthrough video, shows are going to take the place of Retro Rewind for a while. It's not that we're giving up on making that content if you're a Patreon subscriber or something like that. But, you know, during this time, what might be a good idea is if you have a game that you'd like to see us play that's available on Virtual Console. I would say that probably for us right now for 3DS, unless you have the Wii U hooked up and handy. So if it's something that's on 3DS and you'd like to see us play it or do a Retro Rewind, just shoot it out there, Twitter, Facebook, and we'll give it a consideration, you know, as we move forward. But with two in the backlog like that, we probably need to focus on those before we do anything else.
Absolutely.
And be sure to check. One thing I will say, you know, we've got Justin Asks over on YouTube now. I'm about to start streaming along with the other two guys here, and so be sure to check that out. I've got a few more little tweaks to make to my setup. So before I started, I did one last week that some people got a sneak preview of without me realizing it. I thought I had the video set for private and it didn't stay private. It was me playing Snake Pass, but hopefully do some Lego City Undercover or Binding of Isaac this week.
Nice.
So be looking for that on YouTube.
Right on. Very cool. Well, with that, I think that that'll about do it. Oh, go ahead, Jesse.
No, not Nintendo related, but when I do start playing Persona 5, probably this weekend, I plan on streaming that on my personal channel, not on the Nintendo Dad's channel. So if you care about that, you know, watch that. I'll have tweets out.
Yeah, and they can follow you at Laffer.
I think it's Jesse Waldack, or I don't know. I don't know if it's under Laffer or under my real name anymore. It's flopped around so many times.
Right on. Well,
but just search for me. You'll find it.
Right on. Very cool. All right. Well, with that as well, if you want to follow us on all of the social media stuff, you can do so on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at Nintendo Dads. Huge thanks to our Patreon producers, Tim, Sheldon, and Dave. You guys are amazing. You guys keep us afloat. So you guys are awesome. Thank you for your support. If you want to email us, you can do so nintendodads@gmail.com. Watch our videos and streams and all that, twitch.tv/NintendoDads or youtube.com/c/NintendoDads. Call in and leave us a voicemail at 929-25-NDADS. That's 929-256-3237. Big thanks to OC Remix for our music throughout the show, as well as to Carter Johnson and Adam Leonard for our amazing artwork. If you guys want to buy some sweet Nintendo Dads merch, Go to tiny.cc/NintendoDadStore. You can buy a clock. You can buy a king-size duvet cover. You can buy a pillow. You can buy a shirt. Whatever you want. I don't think they have underwear, but that you could probably buy a shirt and then make yourself some underwear with it. I don't know if that's what you want. Different strokes. By the way, if you want to change the world, go to iTunes, leave us a 5-star review. Written reviews are even better. And if you, of course, if you want to subscribe, go to iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and VGTribune.com. For me, for Jesse, for Marty, and for the Irish Justin, we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Nintendo Dads.
Wobble Puffet, Wobble Buffet.
Every time. Never gets old. I think it actually may bother him. I don't know if it really does. But it's good.